two here. Step two. That's right. Just get me going. But next week, we are, please remember, next week we're going to have the communion, Candlelight Communion. So that's going to really.
Four.
Yeah, three. Come on up, three.
No,
say that again. What is it?
Christmas Eve.
Four. And then New Year's Eve the following week is right. Okay, right. Four, three. We'll remind you. So it's going to be a great time. obviously, I don't want to, just going to scratch the surface tonight. You know, I just want to share just a few words and then we'll kind of cut things. But I just want to encourage you tonight. You know, there's strength in your company. Amen. And obviously, you know, I'm not going to get through everything tonight, but I just want to state a few things here. You know, and we'll go more in depth in the weeks to come. But, you know, Jesus had a company. And what I mean that by that is a company, there's a group of people that are around you that you draw strength from. Right? And it's very vital that you have a company. You know, you ever been around people before that just get you? You ever get that? I mean, I don't know how to describe it, right? You're just around people and you just click. For me, it's, you know, when I start talking about hunting or guns or things like that, and I'm around people that hunt, and it's just like, you're my people, right? I have found my people. I love my people.
So I'm not your people?
Oh, you're a different kind of people. So... Or when I go to like the Good Guys car show and, you know, I see an old classic car like I used to have as a kid and I get like a little schoolgirl and want to wet my pants, right? It's like I found my people, right? You just around those individuals, or for me, you know, when I talk about guitars or whatever. Just whatever it is you're into, you just all of a sudden you connect with people, right? Whether it's ladies, maybe it's just clothes, or maybe it's the Hallmark Channel or whatever the new channel is, right? All the Hallmark movies and you know, it's just so incredible. I love those Hallmarks because it's just better than a warm glass of milk. I mean, it just is so incredible. I'm kidding. They're actually, you know, some pretty good shows, so I can't knock them. But you know what I'm saying? There are just sometimes you get around people and you start talking about Hallmark movies or you know, whatever that you're into, and you connect. And well, you know, as believers, there are just sometimes you connect with believers. Amen. And there are just some people that you connect with. In the Bible, there's just groups of people, and it often calls it your company. In Luke chapter 6, verse 17, again, I'm just going to share a few things with you, and then we might get more in depth on it in the weeks to come. But Jesus, in Luke chapter 6, verse 17, and it says, talking about Jesus, and it says, he came down with them and stood in the plain, and here we go, and the company of his disciples and the great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem. So Jesus had a company, and it was his disciples. Those were his people, right? That he confided in. And so there's something powerful with obviously coming to church with your people. Right? I just want to read a few more here and then we'll close things. 2 Samuel 23, 8 through 10. David had mighty men that was his company. Right? Here's some interesting things here. Verse 8, it describes the mighty men, but I want to get something here. It's very interesting. Verse 15, this is powerful, okay? And this is where we need to rely on one another as a company. There's a spiritual bonding here. 2 Samuel 23, verse 15, and it says, and David longed, and he said, oh, that the one would give me a drink of water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. Well, if you read later, that was in Philistines' territory. His mighty men heard that, and they risk life or limb just to get David a glass of water from that well. David came back, and what's to say later? He poured it out because he says, I'm not worthy of this. They loved him so much, his mighty men. They risked life and limb because of what was important to him. It's his people, right? They were so knit to him as a leader. I laugh at, I was in a meeting one time, and everybody always wants to talk about leadership. You know, you're in these corporate meetings and everything. Well, so-and-so in their leadership, and so-and-so in their leadership, and so-and-so in their leadership. And when you're there, you're like, you don't talk to anybody. I sat in a meeting for 2.5 hours. Not one of the leaders came and talked to me or anybody else. You're not a leader. Newsflash, right? No, you're a boss that's a dictator that's a fraud. You don't talk to anybody, right? Give me a break. David's heart was so connected with these people, they were willing to risk life or limb. You ever been around people? I've worked for people before. I wouldn't walk across the street. I mean, I walk across the street because I feel like I'm, you know, I care about people. But if they're not paying me, I wouldn't do anything for them. Right? Isn't that funny how when you get in corporate settings and everything, these people are just such great leaders and such great leaders, and I'm thinking, I wouldn't walk across the street to help you change a tire, right? But I do it because I'm a Christian and I love people, right? To me, a leader is something that somebody that would you would go the extra mile to do something for, right? To me, I see David as a leader. Because what's David do? He risks his life to go kill Goliath, right? I just find it funny, the whole corporate leadership thing. You know, they pat leaders just, well, I'll just say the bosses or corporate people, they just go around and they pat themselves on the back all the time, and it's like, I'm nobody to you. Give me a break. You're a joke, right? That's not leadership at all. Because you'll see everybody here, typically I talk to everybody person in here. If we don't have a conversation, I will connect with you in another week or two, right? If I get connected with people. Because to me, people are important. You're important. Right? I think you're important. I want to get to know you. I want to get to know your family and what's important to you and what's, right? You know, I think if you're going to be a leader, you should care about people. And I've been around too many people that claim to be leaders that could care less about you as long as you're making them a profit. Right? And that's a whole other topic. Right? But that's not a leader. I don't look up to people like that. And so but David, when we're talking about a company, we're talking about a spiritual force. When you're talking about leadership and you're connected with a company, you just don't know people, but your heart's connected. There's some spiritual connection with you and there's people. There's just something different. I remember years ago, I was a kid and we went to a church. Brian and I went to a church when we were kids. And today, even though we were little and we left that church, I was probably 12, 13 years old, I'm still connected with those people in the spirit realm. It's been, well, I'm only 22, so what's that, 10 years ago? No, I'm kidding. But all those years ago, right, I'm still connected with those people because we were in the same company together, right? I mean, we were hanging out, we would go hunting. You know, I played sports with those kids. I mean, we did all these things together. We lived life together. And to me, it's very telling when I see someone like King David that he just makes a comment and men risk their lives just to please him. It's powerful. That's powerful. And that tells you of a connection with someone. Who else has got a spiritual connection? Well, let's see. 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. Somebody else had a spiritual connection with David and Jonathan, right? David and Jonathan had such a spiritual connection. And we're talking about spiritual connection with people. See, people in the world don't understand these things. Because when we read about them in the Bible, it's a spiritual binding that God connects people with. That's why when Peter died, he he was crucified upside down because his heart was so connected with Jesus that he didn't feel worthy to be crucified like he was. Right? Even though they left at the cross, they came back and they were powerful forces. Mm-hmm. Because they were part of the company with Jesus. Jonathan and David here, I want to read just a couple things. And it says in 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. And this is going to help. This is why people don't understand church. Because church is not just a bunch of people showing up, listening to a preacher. But church is a spiritual connection with other people. You don't come to, most people, that's why they're so nonchalant, because their relationship with God is so, and then they come to church, and everything's so, and they don't care. Well, we see here that Jonathan, and it says in verse 1, and it came to pass, when they had made an end of speaking unto Saul, Saul was Jonathan's father, and he was a king at that time, that the soul, here we go, listen to this, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. That is incredibly powerful. Right? We see two people that God connected together. There was an amazing bond between Jonathan and David. Then it goes on, it says, and Saul took him that day that he wouldn't let David go back to his own house. He's like, you're going to stay with me. Verse 3, and Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. It really gives a new interesting twist to, or not twist, but a very interesting understanding to the word when it says we need to share in the celebrations of people and grieve with those who grieve. Right? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we see in verse 4 on, it talks about the covenantal exchange between Jonathan and David. Here we go. And then it came to pass, verse 6, in return, after the slaughter, because Saul put him put David in charge of his army, over the men of war. They came back, and the women of all the cities came out of Israel singing and dancing to meet Saul with tabrets and with joy and instruments of music. And the women answered one another and played, Saul has slain his thousands, and David, has slain his 10,000s. We got a problem here, NASA. Houston, we got a problem here, right? And then verse 8, Saul was very wroth. He was very mad and he was displeased. And then here we go, verse 9, and Saul eyed David from that day forward. Can I just stop here really quick too? There's nothing that hurts worse than the betrayal of someone that you're knit together with. It is the most painful thing in the world. You know, Adrian and I were just talking about things just the other day. And we were talking about just people that were coming in our lives. And I said, I think our problem is we're too faithful of a people. You know? We get connected with people and we're very loyal to people, right? Most people aren't loyal. They're not. They don't care. They just don't. Well, the rest of the story is what happened here. Saul tried to kill David, do different things, and bump him off. But a company is very important. A few other examples, and we'll close up here. Lot was taken in Genesis chapter 14. Lot was Abraham's nephew. Interestingly enough, you read all about the exchange between Lot and Abraham. Lot and Abraham, they had too much stuff for the land, so they had to split up, right? And what did Lot do? Lot's like, ooh, that looks good over there. Ooh, that's a really good spot of land. I'm going to take that. Of course, Abraham, preferring his nephew, let him take it. Where did it end up? Over by Sodom and Gomorrah. Then we see here in verse 14, or in chapter 14, verse 12 through 15, Lot was captured in verse 12. Sodom and Gomorrah there, or Sodom. Abram went and hunted him down. See, when you're connected with people and you're in a company together, yes, it was family, but there was something Abram, or back then, eventually Abraham, risked life and limb and his own company to rescue, to bring back his nephew. That's what a company does. There are no, you know, well, you know, we lost a lot. Well, this is too bad. No. Nobody left behind. We see in this scenario, Abraham takes several hundred men, goes after, brings Lot back. First Samuel 30, we're going to kind of bounce through these tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 30, I think we kind of know this scenario too. Amalekites came along, they took all of the Hebrews, or King David and his mighty men, and everybody, they took their wives and their children and all their stuff. Eventually, I mean, the men were going to kill him. That's not very good. And he went before the Lord and asked if he should go and take it back. And the Lord said, yeah, I'll be with you. And so he went and took. So when you're a part of a company, again, if you've lost things as a company, you reclaim them as a company. See, again, people don't understand that if you're not part of a church body or, you know, interconnected body in Christ, you don't partake of a lot of benefits, right? And it's not a club, but, you know, because we want, we definitely want more and more people involved, but we also see that, you know, when you're involved in a company, scripturally, we'll look at one other place here too, Acts chapter 4, verse 18, that there are definitely spiritual implications and benefits being with the body. Acts chapter 4, verse 18. And I'm going to read through this really quick because we're running out of time here. I'm just kind of buzzsawing some things, but I'm giving you some things to think about tonight. Acts chapter 4, verse 18, and it says, and they called them and commanded them, talking about the disciples here, Peter and John, see you in a minute, that they, this is the religious folks, that they should not speak or teach in the name of Jesus. Well, obviously, the name of Jesus is effective, right? And they're doing something correct, and the religious folks are getting their undies in a bunch, so they don't like it. Verse 19, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you, more than unto God, judge ye. And it says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard, right? They're saying, we're going to do it. And then so they went on and threatened them. They went and glorified them. And then there was miracles going on. And then let's see here. Let's go down to, in verse 30, and by stretching forth your hand to heal, that the signs and wonders were done under the Holy Child Jesus. Then they came back here, verse 27, I'm sorry. And then they're talking about what happened here, but the interesting thing was they had come back to their company and they had received strength from their own company. what's that? 23, that's right. There we go. That's right. That's what I was looking for. Verse 23, I'm sorry. So they had this miracle happen in verse 23. And being let go, they what? Went unto their own company. Now, I want to stop there for a minute. Peter and John walked with Jesus. Now, they should be the spiritual high honchos of everything, right? I mean, everybody should be sitting at their feet receiving revelation. But what do? They go back to their own company and reported all that the chief and priests and the elders had said unto them. Right? Here we go. And when they had heard that, they lift up their voice to God in one accord and said, Lord, thou art God. You've made heaven and earth and the sea and all that's in them. They began to celebrate together what God had done. Interesting, isn't it? How, you know, Peter and John here, who are one of the pillars, and in fact, Jesus said that Peter was the rock, right? What he's saying is the revelation that Peter had was the cornerstone of our faith. But they needed to go back to their own company. Why? Because now Jesus had his own company, his disciples. Hebrews 10:24. This is an abridged version tonight. This is the last scripture. While you're turning there, several things the body of Christ or your company will do. Number one, it's a source of strength, isn't it? Peter and John went back to be encouraged again. They went back to their own company to build themselves up again. They went back to have people have a corporate prayer time. We see in Acts chapter 13:16, we see Paul, it was Saul, but it was later Paul. Paul and Barnabas were worshiping God in a corporate or in a company setting, and God, the Holy Spirit, revealed their ministry to them in a company or corporate setting. Right? Well, how come Paul and Barnabas didn't get that revelation just on their own in their private prayer time? Because there are certain things that God is going to reveal in a corporate or company setting that often you're not going to get just one-on-one sometimes. Right? It also provides a source of protection. What did the company do when Peter and John came together? They brought them in the group. They provided strength. They were. It's a source of refreshing, and it's a source of encouragement. It's a source of supply moving forward. So all of these things. Again, I haven't gone over. I got a ton more scripture here, but just tonight we're closing this up. Hebrews 10:24-25. It says, "Let us consider one another." Here we go. To provoke one another to good works. How can you provoke someone to love or to good works when you're not in a company with someone? Do you realize a lot of the things in the Bible, you have to be in a church setting or in the body to be able to do things. You can't fulfill your Christian call by your own. That's why people, well, I don't need a church, I'm going to a Bible study, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do this. No, you've got to do things to exercise your faith and to do things, right? Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, right? That's awesome. And so much more, the more as you see the day approaching. Guess what? This week, it's more important that you come to church than it was last week. And guess what? Next week, it's more important than this week. And the following week's more important. Why? Because we keep marching the closer to the day approaching. Right? It never ends. And it's more and more important to be interconnected with one another. Right? Why is it also so important? Because you don't get deceived on things. I was talking with somebody. We had this discussion about, you know, men submitting to wives and wives or whatever. But you know, we submit to each other. Right? You know, me as a pastor, I submit to you. Believe it or not. Why is that? Well, because, again, I always tell people, I mean, if you're sitting in somewhere and they're saying crazy stuff, unbiblical stuff, you don't submit to that. Right? We submit to each other. Right? Because, you know, I'm supposed to hold you accountable, and then I'm supposed to be held accountable too, right? For the things that I say. I just can't get up here and say anything I want to. So again, we as a body, as a corporate setting, why are we setting holding each other accountable? Because we're holding each other accountable to move forward to the cross. Paul said, "I follow me as I follow Christ." Paul knew that he was dirty rags, and you know, he admitted that in his writings. But he understood that I'm following Jesus, and Jesus is the perfect mark. And it's always good to see. I was, you know, this is something too where, and I'll just tell the story. When I was, it was very interesting because years ago, there was this couple that we knew. They actually came to our house years ago when we just had Adrian hadn't been married very long. And this person had gotten, she'd fallen into sin with some people in the church and some people outside of the church. And, you know, it, and to be honest, this guy that would fallen into sin, he was kind of in the church leading our Bible study because I worked nights and second shift, and he worked at another place, second shift. And so he and I, sometimes just he and I together, and we would have, and he was, you know, an elder. And you know, the interesting thing was, you know, people will say things like, well, you know, they fell into sin, so therefore what am I going to do? But you know what? The focus could have been, this is awful, this is terrible, this is somebody I looked up to. But you know, there were so many other people in the company or in the church that I was able to grab onto, and you know, they were able to, it was a tough time for all of us. It was not great. Now this person got up and confessed their sin in front of the whole church. That's something you don't want to be in that service, and you definitely don't want to be participating, okay? You don't want to be involved in those type of services. Now, I was in the kids' church. Adrian was up there. I was glad I wasn't up there. But the point is, the company is a place of healing. It's a place of helping you grow. Now, this person, I believe, has repented over the years, and you know, they're, you know, I think they've turned their life around. But as a company, we love and support people, right? And it's easy to condemn. We're, you know, especially the body of Christ, it's always easy to, you know, beat somebody up about sin and things like that. And I just remember, you know, everything that would happen in the 80s with Jimmy Swaggart. You know, I was very impressionable during that time period, and I watched Jimmy Swaggart on TV, and you know, of course, all the media just jumped on, you know, Jimmy Swaggart and everything else too. But I was watching him a couple years ago, probably, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and it's preaching, and I thought, man, he's just so anointed. So anointed, right? There's so many great things coming out of him now. But again, we as a company, when we need things, the spiritual support, just like we were praying earlier, that's where you can get your support from. That's where we can come together and support people. You know what? It doesn't matter how bad you've messed up. We as a body, we can fix it. Jesus will fix you, but we can help you along the way. Amen? It doesn't matter how bad you've missed the mark. Or how bad you think it is. Because guess what? It doesn't matter how bad you think it is. Somebody's had it worse. And you know what? I believe you're going to get through it. That's the key. You know, I've had times in my life where I'm thinking, I don't know what I'm going to do. And you know, I think back now and like maybe things like 5 years ago, and I don't even remember half that stuff. You know, you ever had that before where at the moment you're thinking, everything is awful. Help me, Jesus. Help, 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 help. Rapture now, Lord. You know, you're doing these things, and then 5 years later, you don't remember what you're even worried about. You don't remember what happened. That's why we serve a great God, amen? And you have people around you that, you know, the amazing thing is you think you're going through something and you talk with somebody else and you're thinking, oh, I went through the same thing too. Not a big deal. You're going to make it. It's going to be all right. You know, how is this ever going to happen? What am I ever going to make it through? And you know what? You're going to make it through. That's all there is to it. You're going to make it through. You just take one step at a time and trust God. It's all going to work out, right? It's all going to work out. Okay? Amen. You know? And even if I lost my job, I can still, you know, chop my house up and use it for firewood. It's all right. You know? It'll burn, baby, burn! Right? Amen. It's all good. Father, we thank you tonight in the name of Jesus, that God, we come together as a company. And Lord, we love you. We love these people, Lord Jesus. They're precious. They're your sheep. Lord, we love you. We thank you that we've got amazing people here that love you, Lord Jesus. And Father, we just pray that as a company that we're here for one another, to support, to build one another up, and to love people, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for the leaders and the people in this church. Lord Jesus, as you're developing people and you're encouraging them, Lord, I speak just the love of God tonight and encouragement over them, Lord Jesus, that with God all things are possible. Lord, we just thank you. You're so wonderful, Lord. And when there seems to be no way, you work it out, Lord. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Next Saturday.